brains and computers, you can, I mean, the idea that your entire body must be in the same place at the same time, I mean, my hands must be connected to my body in order to function. This is true of organic hands. It's not true of bionic hands. I can sit here and do this talk show and wash dishes at home at the same time because my brain can be connected to my bionic hands anywhere. A good two-way communication system, direct communication system between brains and computers, this is kind of the watershed moment. I mean, once you have a good two-way, nobody has any idea what happens after that. If you have a good two-way communication system directly between brains and computers, it also means you can connect several brains together to create an inter-brain net with a because it's the same system, the same communication system. And nobody has any idea what this means for things like identity. Who am I when I can access directly the brain of another person? The easiest way to grab people's attention is to make them frightened. This is how we are built, really, as animals. So if you want to distract the public from issues like government corruption or like deteriorating healthcare system or deteriorating education system, the best thing is to find an external enemy that threatens the survival of the nation, and immediately that gets all the attention. Terrorism kills a handful of people, and you have all the governments and millions of people terrified from it. Climate change can kill not a handful of people, but millions upon millions of people, and we should place climate change far above terrorism. There is less room to criticize the government, because then you are immediately labeled a traitor. Like, this is war now. We're in a national emergency. We all have to unite around the government, and anybody who opposes that or criticizes the government is a traitor. This is like, we saw it throughout history. So it's the same logic with, you know, with terrorism in the West, as you say. And this is why very often, even in a situation when there is no real threat, leaders are manufacturing artificial threats.
You have a small elite that pushes things in its own interests, even if it doesn't benefit the vast majority of the population. This has happened so many times previously in history, and it's probably going to happen again. One of the biggest dangers to the planet today is this technological utopia, because probably for the elite it will work. If bad comes to worst, and when the flood comes, the scientists will build a Noah's Ark for the elite, leaving the rest to drown, the rest of the people and then the rest of the ecosystem. But they are likely to be able to construct this technological Noah's Ark, which is probably what much of the elite is counting on.
The biggest question in maybe in economics and politics of the coming decades will be what to do with all these useless people. The problem is more boredom and what to do with them, and how will they find some sense of meaning in life when they are basically meaningless, worthless. My best guess at present is a combination of drugs and computer games as a solution for more. It's already happening. In under different titles, different headings, you see more and more people spending more and more time or solving their inner problems with drugs and computer games, both legal drugs and illegal drugs. You look at Japan today, and Japan is maybe 20 years ahead of the world in everything, and you see all these new social phenomenon of people having relationships with virtual spouses. And you have people who never leave the house and just live through computers. I think once you're superfluous, you don't have power. Again, we are used to the age of the masses of the 19th and 20th century, where you saw all these successful, massive uprisings, revolutions, revolts. So we are used to thinking about the masses as powerful. But this is basically a 19th century, a 20th century phenomenon. I don't think that the masses, even if they somehow organize themselves, stand much of a chance. We are not in Russia of 1917 or in 19th century Europe. What we are talking about now is like a second industrial revolution, but the product this time will not be textiles or machines or vehicles or even weapons. The product this time will be humans themselves. We are basically learning to produce bodies and minds. Bodies and minds are going to be, I think, the two main products of the next wave of all these changes. That is optional. Again, and if you think about it from the viewpoint of the poor, it looks terrible because throughout history, death was the great equalizer. The big consolation of the poor throughout history was that, okay, these rich people, they have it good, but they're going to die just like me. But think about the world, say, in 50 years, 100 years, where the poor people continue to die, but the rich people, in addition to all the other things they get, they also get exemption from death.
The only thing God managed to create are organic beings. All these trees and giraffes and humans, they are just organic. But we are now trying to create inorganic entities, inorganic life forms, cyborgs, artificial intelligence, and so forth. If we succeed, and there is a very good chance we will, then very soon we will be beyond the God of the Bible.